You wake up angry at your partner for something they said yesterday. The thought loops endlessly. They shouldn't have said that. Your body tenses. Your day darkens. But here's the unsettling truth. You're not upset because of what happened. You're upset because you're arguing with reality itself. This simple but revolutionary insight sits at the heart of spiritual awakening. We suffer not because of what happens, but because we insist reality should be different than it is. Most of us live trapped in what could be called a thought prison, believing our mental narratives represent truth rather than recognizing them as symbols pointing toward experience. Unlike animals who shake off distress and return to presence, humans replay painful events for decades, defining ourselves by wounds long healed. We name things and believe we know them, losing contact with their living mystery. This entrancement begins early. Watch a child learn language. Suddenly, the miraculous becomes mundane, the bird becomes merely bird, and direct experience gets buried under layers of conceptual knowing. We end up relating to mental representations rather than reality itself, living in a dream world of ideas while actual life flows past unnoticed. What if the you've spent your entire life defending, improving, and protecting is nothing more than a collection of thoughts? This isn't philosophical speculation. It's an invitation to look directly at your experience right now. Can you find a solid, unchanging self anywhere? Or do you discover only a stream of sensations, thoughts, and awareness itself? The sense of being a separate individual creates a fundamental distortion in how we perceive existence. An infant feels discomfort, but doesn't suffer the way adults do. Suffering as we know it emerges with the development of ego, that sense of being a distinct entity separate from everything else. Initially empowering, this separateness eventually breeds profound alienation. We begin viewing others and life itself as potential threats to our fragile, isolated selves. What if the you've spent your entire life defending, improving, and protecting is nothing more than a collection of thoughts? This isn't philosophical speculation. It's an invitation to look directly at your experience right now. Can you find a solid, unchanging self anywhere? Or do you discover only a stream of sensations, thoughts, and awareness itself? The sense of being a separate individual creates a fundamental distortion in how we perceive existence. An infant feels discomfort, but doesn't suffer the way adults do. Suffering as we know it emerges with the development of ego, that sense of being a distinct entity separate from everything else. Initially empowering, this separateness eventually breeds profound alienation. We begin viewing others and life itself as potential threats to our fragile, isolated selves. Your memories, those building blocks of identity, are startlingly unreliable. College students retelling a simple 30-second story distorted it within minutes. Within hours, their versions became unrecognizable, yet they remained convinced of their accuracy. Your entire sense of self rests on this shaky foundation. From early childhood, you accumulated names, labels, and ideas about who you are, constructing an elaborate self-image you now protect fiercely. But beneath all the images and stories, you find no fixed self at all, only vast, aware presence. Once we imagine ourselves as separate beings, we naturally feel compelled to control everything. Yet here's the uncomfortable truth. We have absolutely no control, not over circumstances, not over other people, not even over which thoughts appear in our minds. The ego is itself just a thought, an image created through mental reference points. We're not our egos. We're the awareness watching the mind. The second trap is demanding, insisting life conform to our preferences. The ego functions as a demanding machine. This should happen. You should be different. We look outside ourselves for happiness, not recognizing that fulfillment already exists at our core. The third trap is arguing with reality, with this moment and with the past. Decide what happened shouldn't have happened, and suffering is guaranteed. Arguing with this fact locks us into narrow, rigid thinking with few options for genuine healing or growth. You're caught in an egoic trance, imprisoned in mechanical patterns that generate suffering. The ego is simply your past conditioning expressing itself now, lacking true creativity. If we had genuine free will, we'd choose happiness. Our failed resolutions reveal we don't possess the power of choice we imagine. This trance extends beyond thinking into emotions and bodily sensations. Your body functions as an alchemical machine, transforming thoughts into feelings. Roughly 90% of emotions originate from thought. Spiritual masters have recognized this egoic state as a kind of dream. It operates like a vortex, activating through emotionally charged reactions: anger, greed, pride, the desire for control. When two people get pulled in simultaneously, cycles of conflict strengthen and become difficult to break. The more we try to control life to escape this vortex, the deeper we're pulled in, because the ego requires resistance to maintain its separate identity. Egos are fundamentally addicted to pain, bonding through suffering more than joy. Notice how someone's worst experience draws you in more deeply than their happiness. This addiction to suffering, combined with moments of pleasure that keep us hoping, keeps consciousness trapped. Some suffering even gets passed down through generations, an unconscious energy transmitted from parents to children. By becoming aware of these inherited patterns, you can end this chain. To shift from egoic consciousness, we must awaken to our natural state. The ego is simply a contraction of our natural expansiveness. Think of spirit as awake nothingness, a vast expanse of consciousness, while ego narrows this down through struggle and striving. What we naturally aspire to, openness, peace, love, well-being, arises when we become conscious of our non-separate nature. Instead of pushing toward enlightenment, take the backward step. Turn around to see if what you seek isn't already here. This isn't about making stillness happen, but recognizing the stillness naturally present, even when the mind feels confused. Another form of struggle comes from our continuous need to know. Here's a liberating insight. There's no such thing as a true thought. Thoughts are merely symbols for things, not the things themselves. True insights involve understanding with your entire being, an aha that resonates through the body. When you realize no thought is ultimately true, you can stop looking to your mind to tell you what's real. Beyond the void of not knowing lies the heart of reality, not a concept, but a vast expanse you can live within. To address suffering at its root, summon courage to fully experience your feelings without judgment or avoidance. Set aside time to feel whatever emotions arise. Notice where you feel tightness or tension in your body. We maintain suffering through the stories we tell ourselves. Consider someone whose lifelong despair began at age 6 when she cried for her mother who never came. When guided to experience the memory without the accompanying story, she discovered it no longer triggered emotional pain. Painful emotions persist because we avoid fully experiencing them, either repressing them or impulsively acting them out. When painful emotions arise, our mind frantically constructs explanatory stories, causing us to contract away from direct experience. This contraction locks the emotion into our system until we develop capacity to experience it fully without going unconscious. Finding inner stability provides the foundation for examining experience clearly. This stabilizing force comes from accessing interior silence and stillness. True open-mindedness emerges when we stop arguing with reality. When we release judgment, our senses open differently. We truly see what's before us, our hearing transforms, and our hearts open to all of existence. When we stop negotiating with life, grace permeates existence. This isn't about getting what we want, but experiencing wonder and life's mystery. Happiness emerges from opening to things as they are. Opposition to reality creates suffering and denies our inner stillness. When we stop resisting, we develop deeper intimacy with experience. From this alignment, compassionate action arises from wholeness rather than conflict. Surrendering into not knowing opens vast possibility. Though initially triggering vulnerability, you discover pure intimacy, union with all experience. Zen calls this intimacy with the 10,000 things, closeness where distance falls away. Within this boundless field lies presence and natural awareness, your most essential nature, the unchanging awareness within which all experience occurs. This unknowing doesn't negate practical knowledge. It provides intuitive understanding and inspired thinking arising from interior awareness. Your relationships reveal how deeply you've returned to stillness. Though you must think and engage with others, you no longer assert beliefs domineeringly. Communication becomes lighter, more fluid, a dance adapting to each moment with transparency, because you know reality arises beyond thinking. Real connection demands full availability to others. Though we crave intimacy, we simultaneously fear it, hiding behind protective walls built from childhood pain. Emotional openness requires beginner's heart, a willingness to remain vulnerable despite past wounds. To end suffering, you must wake from illusions and confront uncomfortable truths. Most people don't want to end suffering, but merely manage it, avoiding the realization that we cause our own pain. The spiritual path's greatest challenge isn't practices or prayers, but confronting our addiction to suffering itself. We cling to our worldviews and past pain because they form our identity, fearing who we'd be without them. Awakening isn't a process. We're either asleep in the mind's dream world or awake in reality. Time is the biggest barrier. In the moment of truly stopping, suffering disappears. Complete stopping involves a death, not physical, but the death of who you think you are. Your past and future exist only in imagination. Right now, there is always and only freedom and peace. Spiritual awakening isn't an end point, but the ground from which new movement begins. True freedom isn't defined by what you're free from, but by what you're free to be. We fall into grace by letting go, relaxing amid tension, pausing to notice something beyond our mind's stories. When we surrender our demand that life change to suit our ideas, everything opens. We awaken from the dream of separateness and realize that what we've always yearned for is what we've always been.